Welcome to The Geek in Review, the podcast focused on innovative and creative ideas in the legal profession. I'm Marlene Gebauer, and I'm here solo today. Greg is on vacation. But it's very exciting today because, you know, we have a couple of guests who are chairs of a spanking brand new conference opportunity offered by ILTA called Evolve. Ken Jones, principal consultant at Zerdic Group, LLC, and Josh Smith, information security manager at Ogletree Deacons. Welcome to the Geek in Review.
Thank you, Marlene.
Thanks, Marlene. Glad to be here.
So I'll pitch this to both of you. Tell us, what is the ILTA Evolve conference and how does it differ from legal events? You know, why did ILTA choose to create a new conference and focus on generative AI for 2024?
So I think really with the proliferation of generative AI in the news and the technologies that are bounding from that, ILTA has really realized that these technology issues are often intermingled. They evolve rapidly, hence Evolve. So the new Evolve conference is just a way to explore those items and provide education that's needed to its members and the education that the members really need and deserve. And so the 2024 topics, they're always going to be two hot topics. And this year, they're going to be generative AI and security.
So, and Marlene, to build on Josh's comments, traditionally, ILTA has held a spring conference. Traditionally, it's focused on cybersecurity and that element of our industry, which is very, very important. And as Josh and you have pointed out, this year, there are two topics, generative AI and cybersecurity. And as Josh has pointed out, it could be different topics in the future. ILTA Evolve is a little smaller conference than ILTACon. It's the type of conference where it's perhaps easier to develop personal conversations and interactions with folks because the scope is smaller. We have a keynote speaker, which we'll speak about later, and a roundtable, and 20 really, really good educational conferences with exceptionally strong speaker application numbers and so forth. So we're really excited. It's traditionally a super fun event. People come, get along really well, and adding the generative AI, KM, innovation type folks to the typical security mix should make it uniquely interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I like that this is sort of a smaller event, particularly for the topics that you're mentioning, because they're meaty topics, but they're ones where I think people can get maybe intimidated sometimes. And so if you're sort of in a big group, it's just sort of easy to sort of be quiet and let things happen. Whereas I think in a smaller group, there's, you know, a lot of opportunity for that type of interaction and engagement that, you know, you're talking about.
I mean, you're absolutely right, Marlene. One of the hallmarks of this conference traditionally is that it does deep dives into technical areas, and some of the speakers are really digging into the details, which is what a lot of the attendees love to see. It gives them some great takeaways to bring back to the member firms and at ILTA. And, you know, for example, just one area, like perhaps cybersecurity, there's offensive security, there's defensive security, there's what the government is doing, there's what different entities are doing, you know, privacy concerns, all types of things. So it gives us the opportunity to dig into certain topics in many different dimensions.
And I also like that you're saying you're sort of bringing in different professionals to this event. And I know that's always been a strength of ILTACon, where you do have different professional tracks where, you know, a bunch of different people that are related to legal technology will converge and speak. And this is sort of following that path as well.
I agree. I think we've even experienced that at Ogletree because, you know, me being the information security guy, we have to become aware of all of these AI things that the KM group wants to use. And we can't just say, yeah, sure, you can use that, you can use that. So we really do have to take a concerted effort to deep dive into these subjects. And a conference like this really gives those two groups that may not have necessarily worked together before the opportunity to collaborate and kind of form those new relationships and see what they can do to protect the firms.
And Marlene, just to add to Josh's comments, there's a tremendous confluence between AI and security. As an example, bias, hallucination, privacy, and confidentiality are critical elements of any AI project, in addition to all the efficiency improvements that are provided to customers and law firms and clients. And even going through the voluminous amount of data that logs and so forth that are generated by cybersecurity tools and using advanced technologies to enable folks to handle it. There's only X number of Joshes at a law firm. And the more technology that you can throw and assist those professionals with in like security operations centers and things like that, it's incredibly helpful. So I think our hope and belief is that there'll be tremendous synergies by having those two groups of folks together.
So I know you were talking about the different types of areas of security and so I know I'm going to ask this question and probably your head's going to explode because it's like you just can't answer it very simply, but I'll give it a try. So for both of you, and maybe Ken, you can start first. What are the key challenges faced by legal technology professionals in the areas of security, of information governance, and data privacy?
Sure, I'll keep my answer short because this is Josh's area of expertise and specialty. But the whole world gets excited, Marlene, even podcasts like yours, about speaking about legal innovation and all the wonderful, amazing things that one can do. But every law firm has a fiduciary responsibility to be a strong steward of a client's data. And that's a critical element of any project. And Josh can expand on this, but at the conference, we'll hear from business partners and member firms and other constituents about a wide variety of issues on that front.
Agreed. So to build on that, and Ken mentioned the word data. That's very, very important. So all these Gen AI models work because they have all this data. They have everything that they can draw interpretations and conclusions from that may or may not be hallucinations, depending on what you do with it. But it's all data driven. It's all data driven. And, like Ken said, we have a responsibility to protect our clients' data. So when you're trying to use Gen AI in a law firm and all you do all day is work with client data for the most part, there's kind of a conflict of interest there. So we've got to figure out how to make these Gen AI models secure so they don't take your data and publish it to the world like maybe Samsung saw not too many months ago, and use it to enhance the technology and the services that the firm offers while keeping all that data that the firm is in charge of secure. So I think that's one of the biggest things that we're going to see going forward is how to test these models and how to secure them and make sure that you're protecting your client data, but you're also delivering services that the client wants with those technologies interwoven. So mm-hmm. It's a very evolving, constantly field. And I think there are many more Evolve conferences that will be focused on security and AI in the years to come.
Yeah, every day it seems to be changing. So I know we have a couple of questions here. I'm going to flip them just so our guests know. But Ken, what case studies or real world examples do you think might be shared during the first day roundtable? And I mean, I'm thinking in terms of what Josh just said that, it's sort of an everyday sort of change in terms of how to deal with security concerns. And I know firms are all kind of dealing with things, I don't know, similarly, but also different. So I'm curious, what you think might come up.
Sure. So the roundtable at the conference is Wednesday morning, May 1st. And the conterm speakers are Kat Casey, Kristen Sande, and Zach Abramovitz. And each of them, Marlene, comes from a very different perspective. I mean, Zach, as we all know, is an expert, a wizard in prompt engineering and AI, and interacts with so many members of the AML 100 and major companies and so forth. Kristen has a thriving practice for access to justice and the types of constituencies she serves and pro bono, and Kat's expertise is broad across the industry. And my hope and belief is that each of them brings a unique perspective, a perspective that we don't always hear about, and that the interplay between the three will be quite interesting.
That sounds like a good mix. Josh, how do you think attendees can benefit from this AI roundtable talking about generative AI?
You mentioned it a little bit in the intro about how this is a more intimate, smaller conference. We expect between 300 and 500 people, which would be average from what we've seen at this time of a year conference in the past. The beauty of that is that it is an intimate situation. So you're in the room with these AI and legal experts, and you get to ask them questions. They're going to hang out during the day, and you can go up during a coffee break or during lunch and say, hey, I had this question, or that spurred some thought. Can we connect on that? And they'll be available. So you have instant access to all of these experts that may or may not discuss your question or your thought during the panel, but they'll also be available throughout the conference. And so you can network and connect with them that way. So I think it's just a really great benefit. That's one reason I've always loved the way Ulta does these smaller conferences, is that you have access, and networking is fantastic, and the access to the panelists is fantastic. So I think it would really be really beneficial for anyone that attends to sit in this panel.
It really is beneficial because, you know, the presentations are always really valuable. But like you said, Josh, they don't always deal with your particular scenario. And I mean, nor should they. Right. But, you know, having people there for the day that are available, these experts that you can basically talk to and say, hey, this is my particular problem. What do you think? You know, that's just really invaluable.
It really is, Marlene. I mean, there are different conference rooms for presentations, but common lunch areas and common evening events and as Josh said, coffee breaks and things like that. And, you know, ILTACON's a tremendous, wonderful event. We all love it. But it's very large, and you spend a lot of time walking around, and you do a little bit more waving than you do in a specific conversation. So they both have, you know, their tremendous benefit. I mean,
absolutely.
But this one has that one element that Josh spoke to. Mm-hmm.
So Josh, tell me, who's the keynote speaker and what topics will be covered?
Wow. So this year's keynote speaker is Joe Sullivan. He's the former CSO at Facebook. May well know his name from his time at Uber. He's also been at Cloudflare. He has a background as a federal prosecutor, also worked at eBay and PayPal, and currently is working with some cybersecurity initiatives of a CEO of a company he has called Ukrainian Friends. And is also the president of his own company, Joe Sullivan Security. And so he will be accompanied by Lily Yeo, who is the founder and president of, or CEO, I think, of C1 Risk. They're a governance, risk, and compliance software company. And I think together they're going to present a great explanation of things that you should look out for if you're in leadership in a law firm or in any organization, really, but particularly in a law firm, and the things that law firms face as far as legal issues, and if an incident happens, how you should respond and how you should handle it. So it's going to be a fantastic presentation. We're so fortunate that we have Joe and Lily coming to do that keynote on Tuesday morning at 9:00. But I think it'll be a fantastic time.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. Ken, you had talked about networking opportunities and sort of, meeting at lunch and, you know, at coffee breaks. What other networking opportunities are available during the event?
Sure. So the event has evening parties or AI-based cocktail hours on Monday. There's a Distinguished Peer Awards activity or presentation by ILTA on Tuesday. But honestly, Marlene, in addition to the scheduled activities, it's really the interactiveness. I think actually a lot of the networking begins even before the event. I mean, we have a tremendous planning committee of 10 or 11 really talented folks, more than 100 speaker applications, lots of interaction going on, even as we build out the conference agenda and curriculum and so forth. And so folks are getting to know each other and meet each other even before the conference starts. And I think that's kind of a jumpstart or a kickstart as to getting together and discussing more substantive issues a little bit more quickly and rapidly during the conference itself.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned it's sort of the after conference events, because, you know, Greg and I always call that we call it the after conference or the evening conference, because truly, I mean, that's where, you know, a lot of discussions are had. You'll see people huddling up at tables, you know, really engrossed in conversation. So, I don't think we should sort of discount, you know, those opportunities. So I'm glad you mentioned it.
And even the vendor display room, business partner, excuse me.
Yeah.
Is the proper term. But the business partner display room is a great place to intermingle with the different business partners. There's usually, like you said, the round tables there, people gather, they chat and exchange ideas there also.
Mm-hmm. And I'll add to that. One thing that we've seen this year is our business partners are really excited about this conference, where they're contacting us left and right, trying to get space to display. So I think the evolve of this conference and merging those topics together, these business partners also are like trying to offer services that do what folks want to do. So they're like, please let us in, please let us talk to your people, let us showcase what we can do. So that's another benefit that Ken mentioned there. You can talk with all the business partners, and it's really a no pressure event too. So it's more casual. You can walk around and just have a conversation, and they're not trying to do a sales pitch to you while you're there. It's not like a timeshare marketing event, like we force you to walk down a hallway. But it's a really relaxed event, and we think that the business partner aspect is really going to shine this year.
Well, you guys are both so fortunate that you are co-chairing a conference that everybody is really, you know, eager to talk about these topics, and the vendors are eager to talk about them as well. So what have been some of the rewards and challenges of being conference chairs? You know, what advice do you have for others who might want to volunteer for this role?
So I can maybe begin, Marlene, and I'm going to take your question and broaden it even further.
Please do. You should always answer the question you want to answer.
By just commenting on what I think the tremendous value is for a legal profession individual to work within ILTA. And I know even you and I have worked within ILTA on projects, but, you know, I've had the opportunity to serve as strategic vendor liaison to one of the major players in the industry. I still do that. I've been part of the ILTA press. I've been a session coordinator for the prior spring conference and now serve in this capacity. And every role that I play within ILTA is exceptionally professionally enriching. It's my profession is software development and litigation and serving clients, and that's critically important, and we try to do a great job with that. But, you know, being exposed to how companies brand themselves, how they present themselves, how they plan conferences, and in this particular role, to sort of narrow it back down, working with and attracting and recruiting the best possible session volunteers, reaching out to our contacts to try to find the best possible keynote speakers and roundtable speakers, and then ultimately trying to craft the best possible content. It's exceptionally challenging, but interesting and rewarding also.
And I agree with Ken. I started as a committee member for a previous conference called Legal Sec 2 years ago, and was also fortunate enough to be nominated, elected, and selected, I guess, as co-chair for this conference. I think, and I agree with Ken here, any volunteer time with ILTA is so beneficial and so enriching, not only the networking aspect, but you learn when you do these things. There's a lot of self-learning and self-evaluation, like, did I do this right? How do we pick these committee members to make sure that we have a diverse panel, but all the talent in the world, which we do. We have a fantastic, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention them. The committee members are fantastic, talented, a diverse group of folks that are really doing a good job. So it's really just an honor to work with those folks and to evolve and grow at ILTA.
And Marlene, I just add one final comment, which is, so next Thursday I'm attending, and it might occur after this is published, obviously, but, you know, the ILTA Catalyst Women Who Lead event in New York City, and it's occurring in several cities across the United States. And I'm going in because, you know, I'm a co-chair of ILTA Evolve and very involved in ILTA, but fairly obviously, I probably wouldn't go to that conference if I was so involved with ILTA, but I am, and I expect that I'll learn a lot. You know, it's a completely different perspective on industry and career planning and pathing and other success stories. And I just think there's a myriad of opportunities for all of us to grow when we volunteer our time in tremendous organizations like ILTA.
And Ken, you mentioned the Women Who Lead Breakfast or conference. There's a Women Who Lead Breakfast at the event this year that Ken and I will both be attending. It's just a fantastic opportunity for the members of that community to come together. And there's always a great presentation, a great breakfast, or there has been in the past. So I assume it will be at this new conference. But we'll be there to show our support and really foster those women who lead in legal.
Well, thank you, Ken and Josh and ILTA, for being allies. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So this is the last question, and this is our crystal ball question. And we ask this of all of our guests. And the question that I have for you, you know, focuses on the topics of the conference. So what is on the horizon for cybersecurity and Gen AI? Josh, you want to go first?
Sure.
I'll
take the first one, Ken. You can follow up. So I think I'll start with security and then we'll go from there. In the security realm, we've really seen, and you know, just trending on past events, we haven't seen any really thing new. And that's really scary that we haven't seen anything new, because the next big thing is probably just around the corner. The next big vulnerability, the next big breach. And so learning how to better prepare for those and maybe use a Gen AI to help investigate those is where we need to kind of focus some time. But there are some sessions at the conference about this. Don't forget that there are those things that just those standard housekeeping things that you need to do in your organization to keep it safe. And so we can't lose sight of that. And I'm afraid that may start to happen. So we have some sessions that focus on general housekeeping, like don't forget to do these specific things. So I see Gen AI evolving to really help do some of those tasks and not, like we kind of mentioned earlier, replace an FTE, but to really complement your program in your security operations center, your network operations center, or just your security program in general. So I hope that's where it goes. I think that we'll see a lot of these tools used for good, not only in security realm, but in legal. Like we have an AI for good, a pro bono session that we alluded to earlier. I hope that's where it leads, and that's I'll keep my crystal ball positive, and not on the negative side, but I think we should head in that direction with it.
Cool. And Marlene, I'll share two final metaphors perhaps on where I believe each are going. And like Josh, I would put my crystal ball as each area will rapidly progress and become more sophisticated and more contributory to adding value in the legal profession. But my metaphors would be in security, I would compare it perhaps to Olympic athlete drug testing, where there's always a new activity done by those who want to scam and attack companies, and then the Joshes of the world and the business partners are working to defend that. And it's probably a never-ending battle where one jumps ahead and reacts to what's out there, and it'll probably continue for a very long time. But you know, and because of that, cybersecurity professionals are critically important. It's evolutionary, and what we're doing today will change tomorrow. And that's why conferences like this are of such tremendous value. Many of the speakers are speaking about what they do at their companies, business partners, or what their firms are doing. And there's a lot of good takeaways for professionals in those fields. And on the AI side, I'm going to share that in my profession, building software, it's critically important to go through common functional steps like defining business requirements, writing functional specs, having a project plan, having a budget, working on a timeline, and providing a usable deliverable to a client that truly adds value and has ROI. And I think right now, AI is really exciting, and there's all kinds of models and things coming out all the time. And I believe that in time, the technology hopefully will be better governed by those processes that are common in software development. And I think, you know, and I know you know a little bit about this, Marlene, and the folks you work with. I think areas like legal pricing and business development and work that folks do at Sally to have a common methodology and terms for different legal activities are all kind of in the same boat. There's a lot of incredible, wonderful technologies, but the application of best practice structures and approaches will help all of us in the legal profession deploy them more effectively. And I know, as Josh does, that some of our sessions, for example, how to better engineer prompt engineering, what's going on with your typical ILTAMAX vendor, the largest vendors in the industry, the equivalent of company updates at ILTACON and so forth, are all very important updates and areas where the attendees are going to be able to walk away and understand the technology and hopefully have a grasp of appropriate structures to apply them. We also have a session on ROI for AI. So there's many opportunities for folks to hopefully not only learn about the technology, but learn about appropriate, proper, strong methodologies to deploy it within their law firms.
It boils down to security, privacy, and governance, right?
Yep. Yep. The big three. Well, I think that's a good place to end it. So thank you, Ken Jones and Josh Smith, for joining us, and good luck with the conference.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Maureen. Thank you for having us.
And of course, thanks to all of you, our listeners, for taking the time to listen to the Geek in Review podcast. If you enjoy the show, share it with a colleague. We'd love to hear from you, so reach out to us on social media. The best place to get a hold of me is on LinkedIn at GabeBauerM. Greg can be reached on LinkedIn at Glambert, and also the same on X. Ken, Josh, where is the best place to reach each of you or to find out more information on Evolve?
So there's an Evolve website, and it's in the live areas of the iltanet.org site. And I think in the header for this broadcast, we can probably
we'll
share
include
that.
It in the show notes. Yes.
And for myself, you know, like you, I'm on LinkedIn and fairly easy to find. So,
and I'm on LinkedIn as well. I'm not as easy to find, but if you do Joshua Smith and Ogletree Deacons, you'll find it.
Hopefully. Terrific. Okay. And as always, the music you hear is from Jerry David DeSica. Thank you so much, Jerry.